The wheels on the bus go round and round. Marvel Comics Star Wars Series, Issue 19. The Ultimate Gamble. I'm Joshua Lappin-Bertoni, and this is Marvel Star Wars, the podcast taking a look at Marvel Comics Star Wars Series. And we are smack dab in part two of our The Wheel storyline. And our cover, we have what I like to call, when Marvel does it, the floating heads of guilt. We have the big wheel space station in the middle of the cover with a red skull in the center of it. I wonder if that's a pun based on Marvel's Red Skull character appearing in the Captain America comics. And the floating heads of Chewbacca the Wookiee, Han Solo the daring smuggler, Princess Leia Organa, the former Imperial Senator, Luke Skywalker, who spends the whole issue unconscious, as he does half of this storyline, and C-3PO. Wait, no love for R2-D2? Huh. Trapped on a man-made wheel of death. Chewie on the cover starting to look a little more like Chewie and a lot less like the shaggy carpet that Carmen Infantino drew in issue 11, so pretty good. To borrow that line from Wedge Antilles in the Star Wars movie, look at the size of that thing. You can clearly see the tiny Star Destroyers on the cover orbiting the wheel, which makes the wheel appear all the more massive. Great cover. I believe somewhere that there was a best of covers list for Marvel Star Wars comics, and this made the covers. Our creative team is the same usual suspects. Archie Goodwin's writing, Carmine Infantino and Bob Wycheck are the artists. So, we know what to expect. Let's dive right into it. We last left R2, 3PO, and the unconscious Luke that they were carrying to the Wheels Hospital. They were being cornered by stormtroopers, who were ready to open fire. Luckily, R2-D2 activates a door just in time. Well, part of it's R2's luck, and part of it's the fact that the stormtroopers can't shoot. As the door is lowering and the stormtroopers are fighting, what? Some kind of barrier coming down between us! It's a containment wall! To seal off damaged sections! Cease firing, or... But it's too late, as the next panel shows us, the shots ricocheting all over, and actually hitting and killing the stormtroopers. Or the wall's blast shielding will cause fiery energy belts to ricochet back into those who shot them. Two things here. One, I know that stormtroopers can't shoot to save their lives, literally, but this is ridiculous. They're actually shooting at themselves now because they're that bad of shots? Come on. And two, the stormtroopers narrate every detail. Look, the wall's coming down. Look, the shots are coming back and firing at us. Look, 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 look. This isn't a radio drama. We don't need every detail narrated. It's a visual medium. It's a comic book. It is art. We can see what's happening. Well, I can. This is a podcast, so you guys are kind of relying on me. I am your eyes. Senator Greyshade, the leader of the wheel, and his robot buddy, Master Calm, are still monitoring each of the rebels through the wheel's security system. One of them actually had the audacity to tap into my system. Such initiative and devotion seems most unusual, sir. I'd like to study. Master Calm, the only one of those rebels I'm interested in is Princess Leia Organa. Have you carried out my orders, or are you too busy mooning over two fellow droids? Sorry to irritate you, Senator, but my personalized form doesn't prevent me from performing multi-functions like any master computer. All proceeds as you requested, though of course we work on a very tight margin. Oy, give me a break. So, this robot is special because it has personality programmed into it. When it's making him feel conflicted, blah, blah, blah. He's using an excuse not to do work. What makes him so special anyway? Don't all droids have personalities programmed into them in Star Wars? The other two that he's monitoring are Han and Leia. And Leia, as usual, is mouthing off at Han as they're shooting some stormtroopers that are trying to capture them aboard the wheel. Remind me to compliment you on your choice of sanctuaries, Mr. Solo, if we get out of this alive. Once again, great Han and Leia banter, even if it's just a bit one-sided here. Han takes this opportunity to recap the events of the previous issue for the readers in case they either have short memories or didn't buy issue 18. After his recap is over, wheel officials point their guns at the stormtroopers and tell them that they are taking over under the orders of Senator Greyshade. Leia isn't too happy to hear that name. She remembers him as a big creeper during her Senate days, which is funny because I thought that his crush on Leia last issue was a bit creepy, since she was a teenager when they were in the Senate together, and he was a contemporary of her father. Yeah. The Wheel officials take Han and Leia into custody, Han saying to Leia, hey, you know, look at the bright side, we might be able to stay alive longer this way. But his optimism fades when the officers decide to separate him from Leia, and informing Han that they need him to help him search the Falcon for something. In the meantime, Chewie has hidden the body of the dead rebel that they found last issue. He's evaded the stormtroopers and made his way to the casino, where he arouses some attention. Our entrance scanner has no printed on you. That would indicate that you have not paid your Wheel registration fee for an established credit level. Since you had to check your blaster at the door, we recommend that you come quietly to Wheel Security. And if you guys know Chewie, you know that the next panel is him whacking the guys aside. Anyone may make a recommendation to a Wookiee. The difficulty, of course, is getting him to go along with it. Ah, I love that narration box. As Chewie whacks them, and we get an extended brawl between Chewie and some of the casino's men. Ever the compulsive gamblers, the people that are witnessing this start betting on the outcome of the brawl. Unfortunately for Chewie, the odds are against him. He's outnumbered, he's outgunned, and he's eventually hit with a stun gun, as some of the casino patrons move on. Did you see that? It took a maximum stun charge to bring him down. I have heard of Wookiees before, but never seen one. What a specimen for the big game.
That's exactly where he's heading.
The Furhead will find he's boarded the Wheel for the ultimate gamble when he wakes up in the gladiator pits as Chewie's dragged away on some sort of Star Wars version of a stretcher. Now that alien who's like, I've never seen a Wookiee before. Really? You've never seen a Wookiee before? Come on, the Star Wars galaxy isn't that... Well, it's big, but come on. Oh, I thought Wookiees were pretty... Whatever. Han's still being held at gunpoint by the Wheel's officials, who are searching the Falcon for the money the rebels stole from the House of Tag. However, if you listen to last podcast or read last issue, you know that that money's not going to be found because the rebels were framed, and Greyshade is being duped by Commander Strom. Leia is in Greyshade's custody, and she's being a bit frosty towards him. She's looking at Han on the security footage, and... he's got a weird chin thing going on there. Thank you, Carmen Infantino. Greyshade! Ah, you seem so firmly resolved not to speak to me. Your brand of senatorial policies is still too fresh on my mind. Huh, I'd be curious to know what those policies are, actually. But I believe I know what Han Solo doesn't. Call off your men. It sounds as if you actually care for that vagabond Starhopper. I care about many things, Simon Greyshade. That's the difference between us. Oh, evading the question, Leia. You're easily amused, but never committed. Now, do you want to hear about hijacked Wheel Prophets or not? I yield the floor to the beautiful Princess Senator from Alderaan. Alderaan is destroyed by the hand of the Empire, the same hand that grabbed your shipment of Prophets. Until I know what cargo that merchant ship carried, I couldn't guess what the Imperials were up to. The Empire's never dared interfere with the Wheel for fear of ruining its popularity and value as a source of taxes. But if it appears to have become a target of the Rebel Alliance, they can justify a complete takeover in the guise of offering protection, and everyone will accept it. There are flaws, but what you suggest does seem typical of Imperial thinking. The best proof, of course, will be finding the pirated cargo in. I have a theory about that, if you'll just set me and my friends free. I love Leia being snarky against her captor here. Reminds me of the Death Star, when she was, you know, being all snarky to Tarkin and Vader, even in the face of her execution. And that brain on that girl, she lays out the whole plot. She knows exactly what's going on. This is how Leia should be written. Of course, we're interrupted by Master Calm, my favorite, not, character of this story.
Senator Greyshade, Commander Strom is on his way here at the head of the stormtroopers. He's fierce over your interference in the hunt for the rebels, I fear.
As Commander Strom shoots Master Calm in the back. We've moved too swiftly for your security guards or this walking master computer. When I was first reading this, I put in the notes, is Master Calm dead? I hope so. This whole quote-unquote droid with feelings thing was annoying, and I was dreading where they might go with it.
Strom isn't too happy to find Greyshade harboring the rebels. He threatens the both of them when his hand gets blasted from one of the wall panels, and then I get disappointed when we see Master Calm walking back in. As Greyshade says, "Be glad your hands weren't blown off. Even if the master computer does automatically revert back to its original system when attacked, those robot bodies are expensive. Besides, I hate talking to walls." "Actually, the old model was getting a bit worn, so I believe this new one will function even better." "You can start by escorting Commander Strom to the antechamber. I want to talk to him alone. Meanwhile, my suite is yours, and feel at home in it, Princess. Enjoy yourself, and don't waste your time looking for another way out." There isn't any. Moments later, Simon Greyshade says to him, "Master Calm, you will not record or hear this conversation." "Well, what's this all about, Greyshade?" "About our becoming partners, Strom. Before we go any further with that..." "Drat, we're going to have to deal with Master Calm longer. He's alive. I don't like it. Well, anyway, Greyshade and Strom cut a deal. Greyshade's going to go along with this quote-unquote takeover plot. He's not going to say anything. He's going to let them take over the wheel if Strom lets him keep Leia. Yeah. What? Really? You're going to... Instead of reporting this or something, you know, you're just being like, okay, fine. Just let me keep Leia. Really? Whatever. Greyshade further promises Strom that the others won't be able to leave the wheel alive. Speaking of leaving alive, how's Luke doing since the droids carried him off looking for the hospital earlier? Well, we get a nurse looking at Luke, who's stripped down to his underwear. And this nurse, because remember, this is before we had the M-Teddy medical droids from The Empire Strikes Back. They didn't exist yet, so he's being looked at by a nurse, and the nurse is wearing Earth nurse uniforms, complete with a Red Cross symbol, which begs the question, does the Red Cross exist in the Star Wars universe? As you can guess, it was R2 who tapped into the system so Luke can be treated without arousing any attention. But the wheel officers find the droids and take them away with some odd news. Han Solo has pawned them off to the wheel so he can use them as gambling credits. Yeah, Han Solo, you big fat jerk. It is confusing, though, because the last time we saw Han, he was being held at gunpoint by wheel officials searching the Falcon. So, what's going on? Chewbacca isn't doing so well, either. He's in the waiting pit for the gladiatorial arena, and he isn't making much friends. In fact, he's getting into fights with them, and the wheel officials lay it all on the line to Chewbacca, who's looking just like he did in Issue 11. Carmine Infantino, I was telling about how you improved your Chewbacca drawings. I'm gonna have to take it back now. You can volunteer for gladiatorial service in the big game with a chance at a fortune if you're a winner, or you can be dumped at a waiting Empire prison ship. Destination, the spice mines of Kessel. Not much of a choice, is it, Fuzzy? Well, speaking of the gladiatorial arena, we're gonna have another member there soon. Han is trying to get some more money. He's at the casino now, which, once again, pretty big transition from where he was before, but luckily his thought balloons lay it on the line. Blast! I thought my luck had changed when the wheel security let me off the hook at those piracy charges. Then they hit me with what I owe if I want to stay on board. And it's been downhill ever since. With Chewie missing, Luke hospitalized, and Leia held by the wheel administrator, I can't afford to get kicked off. Especially not when the Empire is waiting with open arms. Since the Falcon was confiscated against docking fees, all I could do was put the droids in Hawk and pray I could run up big enough stake to bail us all out. That answers my question about how Han got from being a prisoner to a gambler. And when he lays it all out here like that, it actually... You can see why he had to pawn the droids, and it doesn't come off as that much of a sleazy thing to do, although it is pretty sleazy anyway. Han is frustrated when a banker droid tells him that he doesn't have any money, but the droid tells him that there is another option. Though your credit is exhausted, it is still possible for you to gamble. And what do I use for the stakes, cashier? Why, your life, sir. See for yourself. The ultimate gamble. High risk, high reward. Be a gladiator in the big game. That's a poster I'm reading off of. Han Solo stares long and hard, then walks from the casino's atmosphere of plush excitement into one of cold desperation. Just let the scanner get an ID print for the record, and congratulations, Krillian, you're a gladiator. information that is swiftly relayed to the Wheel's executive tower. "What now, Senator Greyshade?" says Master Calm, who I kind of haven't been consistent with my voices for him. "Now we arrange for our smuggler, Captain, to lose a big game, just as certainly as we made him lose the others." "That's right. I'm sure you're all shocked. The casino that's run by a former Imperial Senator, an Imperial Senator that even Leia said was crooked, has rigged games!" At first glance, I questioned Han risking his life in this gladiator game. And by the way, Chewie's in it, Han's in it. Gee, I wonder what's going to happen. I question it, especially given his characterization in the Star Wars movie where he was reluctant to march into the Death Star Detention Center or participate in the Battle of Yavin. Then I realized that he isn't exactly doing this for himself. It's a selfless act to try and save his friends. It's actually some good character development for Han Solo, and it doesn't come off hokey and out of character like it did in the Aduba arc, where he's like, "Yeah, I'm gonna save this village for no money, why not?" Well, that was our cliffhanger for the issue. Infantino's artwork, I love it, but I still have my same criticisms. You know, he can't draw Han's face, and his Chewie... Good cover, though. Goodwin is continuing to hit things out of the park. His banter between the droids is funny, and his Princess Leia is spot on. I could definitely do without Master Calm, though. Oh, he's a robot, and he has feelings! How deep! Not. The letters pages for this month had a fan who wrote in, complained about the contradiction between Luke and Leia's ability to swim in issue 15, compared with what was represented in the Splinter of the Mind's Eye novel. Marvel explains that once Archie Goodwin got around to reading the book, it was already too late to change the contents of his story. Marvel decided to let the readers write in and give their best explanation of this retcon. Which makes you think, people are complaining now about the expanded universe, about how it's too big and convoluted, and there's too many continuity errors. This was 1978, and the only expanded universe stuff that was out there was Marvel Comics and Splinter of the Mind's Eye, and they were still having continuity errors between those two. Speaking of Splinter, another fan wrote in asking Marvel to do a 6-issue adaptation of Splinter. Marvel said that they didn't have the rights to it, but that a comic adaptation of it was in the realm of possibility. That would have been awesome to see Marvel's take on it in the 70s. Would have been interesting. We would get a Splinter comic adaptation, but it wouldn't be until the 90s, and then it would be done by Dark Horse. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Be sure to come back next time for Death Game!